Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone again. Now that September is rolled in, we are all here and snuggled in. Kids back to school, and we went out to the pumpkin patch yesterday. Didn't get pumpkins yet, they were still a little too small, but we went out there. And Dad, in all of my good intentions, I went out to do some apple picking. Took the girls by myself. Thank you very much. Went out and I was all ready, had the cart ready for them to go. We had our little baskets and I got there and I said, I'm here to pick some apples. She said, oh, well, we stopped about an hour ago. Yeah, well, that's all right. I said, well, God bless it, I guess. She said, but you can come back tomorrow, 8 o'clock. I said, well, I'll be busy tomorrow, but I appreciate it. So I tried. I tried for my wife because she wanted to make an apple pie. So I was going to get some fresh apples. But the needless to say, it is that time of year and it is apple season. So it's still not too late if y'all want to get some apples. But pumpkins are coming and we'll carve those up next month. Today I want to look at the book of Luke. The book of Luke, 6th chapter. I'm going to read from the 37th to the 42nd verse. If you have your Bibles or your phones, but in Luke chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 37. And it reads as thus, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He also told them this parable. "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who was fully trained will be like their teacher. So why do you look at the speck of a sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Father God, we come now with the expectation and anticipation of receiving a word from you. We ask that you give us insight into what you are trying to say through the scriptures. And let it be an edification for our learning and draw us closer to our purpose that you have for us. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. In our house, primarily, my wife does all the cooking. I can cook. But we have two very different approaches to cooking. She has a little background in restaurant business, so usually she can go into the kitchen and 10 to 15 minutes, there's a meal for everybody. And it's a good meal. When I go into the kitchen, it's a little different. I have to make a little more preparations. I need things to be a certain way. I have to pull out my trusty iPad and find a recipe. And I have to follow the recipe. I have to prep everything beforehand. because I'm nervous about the timing of cooking, right? You don't want things to sit too long. Once you start, it has to have a certain flow to it, or you're gonna, you know, it's not gonna come out the way you want. And so usually when I'm going to make dinner, it's going to be about a 2-hour process. And so ergo, my wife usually ends up making us dinner. But as with anything, there has to be an order to it. Things have to be done a certain way. Now, she is more skilled, so she can kind of measure out without having to look. And you know, a lot of grandmas are like that, right? They don't use the recipe book anymore. They can just go in there and whip it up. But for us novices, we still need to measure things out. Like a carpenter, right? When you're going to build something, they have to measure it out. It needs to be exact. They can't really eye it too much. If you try to just eye it and it's off just by the smallest, it'll mess up everything else they're going to do. So there are things in life where sometimes we can kind of just willy-nilly it, throw it together, and it'll turn out okay. But sometimes it has to be a measurement, an exactness to what we're doing. In the scripture, God is talking about a measurement. He's measuring. And what he's measuring is our deeds, how we are, our judgments. He's being very particular about his measurements. Now, he doesn't put any numbers in there. He's not saying exactly, but he's being very clear that he is measuring. And so I want to look today about our measurements. I don't mean your clothes size. I don't mean your cooking habits. But I do mean how you measure yourself and how you measure others. And how do we balance that in God's eyes? And so there's three ways I want to quickly look at exactly how God does this and what he expects from us. And first, we have to balance our scales, make sure our scales are balanced. And secondly, we have to know the means that we're going to measure. And finally, we have to see clearly the solution. Marcus Aurelius, an old Greek philosopher, some of you may have heard of him, he has a saying. He says, "Do not waste what remains of your life in speculating about your neighbors. Anything that distracts you from fidelity to the ruler within you means a loss of opportunity for some other task." That's a little words of wisdom. What he's trying to say there is if we spend all of our time worrying about what everyone else is doing, then how are we going to really understand what God is doing with us? And the scripture is also saying this. God, fairly clearly, Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, or you will be condemned. And if you forgive, then you will be forgiven." Seems pretty simple, pretty clear. But in practice, it's a little harder, isn't it? Because we spend a lot of our time judging. It's what we naturally do. We see something, we size it up. We see someone, we size them up. We make an opinion based on their clothes. What did Mom always say? There's nothing like a first impression. Because that's what people remember. That's what people see. But see, Jesus is saying something deeper than that. He's saying, yeah, you're going to look at people. You're going to have a judgment. But what I'm telling you is the more you linger in your judgment, the more you think you understand who or what they are or this situation, the more that I'm going to look at you with that same harshness. And maybe I'm just going to let my judgment linger on you, that you aren't ever going to meet my expectations. because we're not going to meet God's expectations in the sense of being perfected while we're in this flesh. This is why Jesus came. And he's trying to teach something very simple and basic, but it's something that we really struggle with. I spend a lot of time counseling couples. And in counseling couples, something that you find is there's often a miscommunication. Someone has an expectation, the other one has an expectation, and they're not meeting either expectation. And so they're not communicating this out, though, right? We do a lot of things without necessarily saying it bluntly, or maybe we're saying it, but what we're saying is not exactly what we mean. Oh, it gets so confusing. It's a complex thing being a human being. But God is really simple in what he's asking of us. He's saying, I want to relieve you of all of your complexity. I want to make this life real simple for you. I don't want you to run around here worried about what that person's doing, why they're doing it. If it's not hurting you directly and you have to do something about it, but if it's afar off, if it's just on your Facebook feed, if it's just on your Instagram picture, and you're going to look at them, fine. You want to see what they're doing? Great. But the longer you linger in your judgment, wondering why they're doing that and being critical and saying that, man, I'm better than them, because it's an easy step to get to that place, even if we're not acknowledging that we think we're better. Judgment puts us in that place of being better than someone else. And so God is trying to relieve us of this burden that you don't have to judge. You don't need to condemn. I can do that in my way, my loving way. You see, what God wants to do is he wants to relieve us from that. Why? So that we focus more on what he's doing with us. Because God is doing a great thing with you. Right now, in your life, he's trying to bring some things out in you that he wants you to see clearly. But the longer we look at what others are doing, then the less time we spend on what he's doing. See, he's saying what he wants to give us is more than we are even imagining for ourselves right now. Do we think we're doing things, we're giving in a way that is going to please God? We give our offering. We give our time. We come to church. Maybe we give to others by listening. Someone has a problem. Are we that ear that they can come to and share? And he's saying that kind of giving, I'm going to give back to you in such a way that you won't be able to hold it. You won't understand it. Being out at the farm yesterday, they had the guys and they had all these buckets of I guess it was corn grain that they had, and they were just shuffling it along. It was about six guys, and they had this big a line going around, and they were passing it one to the other. And it made me think of this scripture where he's saying, you have this grain. And in those days, when they would pour out the grain, they would have to measure it. It was an exact weight it needed to be. And he's saying it's going to be a good measure. And when he means a good measure, he's saying it's pressed down, meaning it's packed. I'm getting as much into this bag as I can get into it. It's tight. It's pressed down. It's a good measure. And it's shaken together. So it's not all cramped up, but it's shaken together. The parts that have fallen out are coming back together. I'm shaking it together to the point where it's going to start to run over. It's running over. And that running over is poured into your lap. See, because the women would have to go with their skirts, right? They had the skirts and they would hold it out. And that measure that was poured, they would know that this was the exact amount. And that pouring out, they would catch it in their laps. And this is what he's saying of how he gives his blessings to us. It's a good measure. He has exactly what he wants to give you. And it's a measure that he's going to pour out into your lap to the point where you're not going to be able to hold it. You're going to have to share it. And that's the beauty of God's giving. He gives so much that we have to give back. And I don't just mean in material ways. I mean in the blessings that he's done for you in your life. Or maybe I'm the only one, but I can think of the times that God showed up in my life, where he did something where I didn't think nothing could be done. And he showed up in such a way that I had to let somebody else know about it. To the point where now I come up every Sunday and share about the goodness of this God that I serve. Why? Because he has given me so much. There was a point in my life where I thought I wasn't worth having anything. I fought with depression. I stayed in the room. I didn't want to come out. I liked it to be dark all the time. But I couldn't stay in that place. It was a comfortable place. But that's what depression does. It makes you feel like it's okay. That's what the world does to us. It makes us think the bad is good. It's okay to be in an abusive relationship. You don't know any better. It's okay to be abusive. This is just how I am. People should deal with it. But that's not good. But something happens when we recognize the light in our lives, when we recognize that there's something else, and we choose that something else not once, not twice, but every day, and again throughout the courses of our day. This is that good measure that's poured out into us. And we receive that. We receive what God is giving us again and again when we stop wasting our time and our mental energy on those dark places, those dark crevices, being envious, judging, comparing ourselves to others, not feeling that we're good enough. We feel frustrated that we're not successful as the other people that we see around us. And God saying, stop looking at everybody else. I have a plan for you. I have something specific that I am trying to fulfill in your life. Take the speck out of your eye so that you can see clearly what it is I'm trying to do with you. And this is the wisdom of what Jesus is trying to teach. He calls us hypocrites. Why? It's such a harsh word, but he's saying we're so busy looking through a lens that is false. Our own understanding we're not supposed to lean on. So why do we trust that what we see and what we think in our judgment, in our criticism, is the way God sees? We're not that wise, but we are wise enough to know that if we turn to him, if we stop judging this outside and we look at ourselves, we focus on what we're doing. How much better can I be? What is it that God is calling of me? If we put as much effort into our spiritual walk as we do into our judgments of this world, how much more could God use us? How much greater could our ability to save souls be for him? Instead of looking at the struggle, if we look at the salvation, if we, instead of trying to solve someone else's supposed problem or issue we have with them, and even not dealing with them, but saying, God, deal with me. Turn the eye to me. Where is it that you are finding in me that needs more of you? Where can I love myself even more. Because then that will translate into us loving others. This is the challenge that God poses for each and every one of us. He's trying to give us more blessings so that we can give it back. But if we are filled with our own anxieties, our own criticism, our own judgments, then where does God have room to do anything? As the band comes forward, I want to challenge each and every one of us this week, just for 1 week, to not judge, to be very mindful of our criticisms about others, about the world, politics, Facebook. I know that sounds crazy. Like, Pastor, what do you mean I can't turn that off? But I challenge you, maybe a day, take it one day, and don't even look at it. Don't pay attention to the outside, but focus on yourself. Love yourself. And see how God is trying to bring more out of you. If we focus on our disciplines, what God is doing inside of us, I guarantee you he will use that and make you a mover and shaker in this world. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing with his blessings. Is there a one? If you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I invite you today to accept him right now. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion. Begin your walk with him. Put down the darkness, the anxiety, and accept the love, the unconditional love of Christ. Is there a one?